Get ready to be lifted to a higher dimension as you listen to this prophetic and practical teaching. Your life will never remain the same. The entrance of the word brings light. So get ready for a fresh word that will bless and encourage you. And now, here is your teacher.
Romans chapter 8, I'd like to read from verse 1 to 16. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Praise the Lord. Living a balanced life. You may be a spirit, but you live in a physical world, so you need to master your practical life so that you will not only do that by yourself, but you will do that by the Holy Spirit functioning actively in you as you give room to the Word of God in your life. There are so many persons who have become too useful to God that they are no more useful to their world and to their generation, to their time, to their family, and even to themselves. They've become too useful to the kingdom that they have become too useless for themselves and for the world around them. Christianity is not foolishness. Christianity is not stupidity. Christianity does not call for you to become less human than you ought to be. Christianity doesn't make you any lesser than any other human being. Christianity is not a movement. It's not a relationship of inferiority. Christianity is a relationship that will give you a superiority complex. It makes you superior, not necessarily proud. There are Christians today who don't believe in any other thing in life apart from making heaven. While that is very, very good, while that is commendable, you must understand that the body you are living in and the earth you are living in will need you.
And that's why God didn't kill you after you were given birth to by your mother to take you back to heaven. He allowed you to stay on planet Earth so that you can be useful to him. And I said this before, that you are only useful to God while you are still alive. The moment you die, you are not useful to the kingdom, you are not useful to God. Praise God. It is imperative that you balance the spiritual side of your life with the physical side of your life. Because if you do one side more than the other side, you are going to have a tilted life. You are going to have a life that is tilted towards one end, and that is not balanced at all. But God wants us to live a balanced life. If there is any practical example of a man who ever existed and lived a balanced life, it was Jesus. He was God and he was also man. But he wasn't found wanting in his side as God, neither was he found wanting in his side as man. He attended wedding ceremonies like we do. He attended other social functions like we do. He also attended church. He prayed like we do. He had some physical challenges like we have. But Jesus balanced his life and was able to finish his race. And Jesus, when he was leaving the stage, he said, "My peace I leave with you, not as the world give. The peace that passeth all understanding." He said, "I want you to occupy until I come." He said, "Everyone that believe in me, the works that I did, he will do. Even greater works shall he do." And so if Jesus had a balance on earth, it means that by that promise that we can even live a better balanced life than Jesus. He said, "Because I go to my Father." And you don't have an excuse not to be the first in your class because you are a Christian. You don't have an excuse to carry plates and beg food around the street simply because you are serving God. And you know there are so many persons that have brought disgrace to the name of the Lord in the course of serving him. And so because I'm a Christian, and that's why I don't have time to study my books, and that's why I come behind in my class, I come last. But never mind, heaven is greater than first position. Praise God. Every time I remember that one day the trumpet will sound and then I will be raptured and then I will be seated at the right hand of Jesus Christ, it makes me to forget about everything book. It makes me to forget about everything position. Those who want to take first, let them take first. Give me my heaven and give me my Jesus. Praise God. You will soon discover that you needed the first position in order to be able to manifest Jesus well. Mordecai looked at Esther and said, "Who knows whether it was for such a time as this that God sent you to the palace? If you all together keep quiet, God will bring deliverance to his people from some other way. Or let it be known to you that you and your father's house will be destroyed." God gives us platform in order to serve him better. If you don't know how to balance your life, the devil will take advantage of you. If the devil knows that more money in your pocket will take you away from God's presence, he's ready to let you have as much money as you will want. God does not have a problem with blessing us. It doesn't have a problem with lifting up. But the question God is asking, if I bless you, what would my blessing do to you? How far would my blessing take you away from me? Samson was specially packaged from heaven to be a deliverer to the children of God on earth. And when he came with specific instruction to the mother while he was still in the womb. And God told the mother of Samson and the father of Samson, "This one is a Nazarite unto me. And so you must be careful why he stays in the womb. And because of the kind of work that I have designed for him to do, mama, don't take hot drink, don't even take wine. For the next 9 months of your life, I have a special package that I want to send through you." And the mother of Samson kept the consecration, but when Samson came, he did not keep his own consecration. Praise the Lord. The blessings of the Lord upon the life of Samson was so much on him that he felt he could do anything and still carry on the assignment. And said, after all, am I not the one that woke up from the house of a prostitute and then they locked the gate against me, and behold, I was able to pull the pillar and the gate together and I carried it and climbed the mountain. Am I not the one that when the lion came against me, I killed the lion? What are you talking about? The presence of God is so much with me that I don't care any less reading or praying. Whether I pray or not, I can still preach. Praise God. I have become so anointed that I don't need to study the Bible, that I don't need to pray, that I don't need to fast. I know that the moment I mount on the rostrum, the power of God will come upon me and I will declare the word and people will be blessed. You need to be careful. You may be a spirit, but you live in a physical world. And because you live in a physical world, you must seek to strike a balance between your spirit life and your physical life. And my fear for you is that will you get to the place where the blessings of God will make it impossible for people to be willing and ready to correct you? Will you get to the place where the blessings of God upon your life will make it practically impossible for people to gain access to you? There are some people that when they were still growing up with God, everybody could get them. But when God lifted them, even their members would need to sign a lot of forms to see them as pastors. Don't you know that there are members of churches that have not been able to see their pastor for 6 months, some for 2 years? It's practically difficult, praise God. Not that they don't want to see him, but he has created so much defense around himself that even when he's in the office, the PA will tell you he's not in the office. Praise God. The question is, when God takes you to where you are going, will you be able to balance up your life and still be a true worshiper of God? If God removes all your problems in life, will you still pray? If God removes all your problems in life, will you still come to church? Praise the Lord. For us to be able to live a balanced life, there is what I call critical truth about a balanced life. I'd like you to take note of them. Critical truth about a balanced life. Number one, don't ignore, don't neglect, don't operate in mediocrity in your physical life. Critical truth about a balanced life. Don't ignore, don't neglect, never operate in mediocrity in your physical life. You know that there are people that are operating in mediocrity. Their life is all about average. Their life is so hidden. Their life is so fake. Don't operate in mediocrity. Don't ignore. Don't neglect your physical life. Don't say, I am a spirit. I live in a body and I have a soul. So it doesn't matter what happens to me. You will find the portion of the Bible that says, why my outward man is perishing, my inward man is renewed day by day. And you say, it doesn't matter what happens to my physical body. It doesn't matter provided my spirit is strong. Let me tell you this like I've been saying before, that your body is the only vehicle that can carry the Holy Ghost to go and happen anywhere. If that your body is weak, you can't carry the Holy Ghost anywhere. God needs your body to function. The Holy Ghost needs your body to function. And so you don't neglect the care of your body. Praise God. I don't do exercise. I don't take drugs. I don't run physical tests. I don't run any medical examination. I am just there. God is taking care of me. And then you are gradually dying. Have you not heard that some people slumped while preaching on the pulpit and died? Amen. Because you are spirit does not mean you should spiritualize everything. Everything is spirit. Amen. If you live in the spirit, you won't be hungry. In case you have ever feel hungry, know that you are still on earth. Amen. So don't live in mediocrity. Don't believe that it is worldly to have a good life. Don't believe that even if I don't take first, provided I know my Bible from Genesis to Revelation, it doesn't matter. Because you are going to shame the name of the Lord. It doesn't bring glory to God that you are last. They call first, second, third in your class and you are not there. And every day you will stand up and say, I want to preach for you. At a time in your life, your classmate will tell you to sit down. Praise God.
Because you are the one that is looking for who to copy from during examination. And you are the one that is saying the Lord is good. They want to see how good God is in your own life. So, go back to your study. Study very well. When examination comes, you write exams. When result comes, your name is pasted and number one. You can stand head tall and shoulders high and tell your people, I want to tell you about God. And they will say, let's hear that your God is a good God. If he has blessed you, he can bless us. Praise the Lord. Don't live in mediocrity. Don't say, what others are doing doesn't bother me. They said there's environmental sanitation. They said, my life is hidden in Christ with God. Even if all the mosquitoes in my compound bite me, no malaria will be found in my body. You will soon die. Praise God. Go and clean the gutters. Keep your environment clean. Amen. They said, everybody close your houses. Close your gates. Security alert. He said, the Lord is my keeper, the Lord is my shield. When my enemies and my foes shall rise up to eat my flesh, they will stumble and fall. So you open your gate. It may not be the thief that will come. It may be a snake. Praise God. Amen. And so what do you need to do? Don't live an average life. I said, God is there. Number two. You are to reign in life, but not by human struggle, but by the royal divine gene of the Almighty God in you. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10. One of the things that God gave to man after creation was power to dominate. He said, I give unto you power to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions. And everything that I have created, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And when he created the man, he told the man, I have given you power to subdue the earth, to have dominion over the works of my hand. And little wonder, when he was through with creating everything, he brought them to Adam and said, Adam, give them names. And Adam sat down and began naming everything that God created. And the Bible said, when he was through with naming it, whatever he called them, that is what they are. Dominion. God wants you to reign. But not by your struggle. 1 Samuel chapter 2 verse 9, the arm of flesh will fail. God wants you to reign, but not by your power, but by the royal divine gene that is in you through the Almighty God. And I'm praying for somebody listening to me today, that the gene of failure that you have inside of you, God will exchange it for a gene of dominion. In the name of Jesus. That the gene of sickness, the gene of diseases that you carry inside of your life, that it will be exchanged today with the gene of divine health. He wants you to reign. One day Nebuchadnezzar was walking on the roof of his house as a king. And he looked at Babylon. How beautiful and how massive Babylon was. And he thought to himself, is this not Babylon that my strength have gotten for me? The Bible said God thundered in heaven. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel chapter 3 molded a graven image and made all the people to bow to it, and God didn't do anything. But the day that Nebuchadnezzar attempted to rub shoulders with God, he said, this is Babylon that my strength and my hands have procured for me. And God said, today, I will teach you a lesson that when you recover from it, you will know the difference between God and man. And the Bible says God sent him to the forest for an eye tea with some animals. And after seven seasons have passed over him, he came back and took over his throne. He said, now I know that there is a God who raised kings up and who also bring kings down. Some people learn by instruction and others learn by destruction. May you not learn by destruction. Praise God. He said, we shall reign with him. Have you not seen Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10? God wants you to reign in life. But he doesn't want you to do it by your strength. In the book of Luke chapter 5, Jesus was standing by the Sea of Gennesaret.
Very early in the morning, he saw some fishermen washing their net with their empty boat. And the Bible says he steps into one of the empty boat and started preaching. And when he was done with preaching, he said, "Who is the owner of this boat? Can you thrust the boat a little bit into the sea for a draught?" And Peter said, "Lord, we have toiled all the night. Lord, we have displayed our strength all this month. And we didn't catch anything. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down my net." And the Bible says when he did so, there was an enclosure of a multitude of fish that his strength alone couldn't pull it out. And he beckoned on his friends to come and help him. And when they pulled out the net broke because of the quantity of fish that entered into the net. May God give you a blessing, but may that blessing not be the blessing that will kill you. May the blessing of God not wreck your life. And has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Somebody shout hallelujah. God has made us kings. In case you never knew, God has made you king. I don't care the family you come from. Your family may not be known in your community. I don't care the position you occupy in the rank of your family. You may be the least of the last. You may be the last of the least. But God has made us kings. He has made us priests. And we shall reign with him. And let me pray for you today that wherever you are down, may God take you up in the name of Jesus. He wants us to reign, but he wants us to reign by his own power. If a man can trace his achievement to his effort, then there was no God factor in it. But every time you look behind you and you can say, this, I have achieved this, but it wasn't me, it was God. The magicians, they saw the finger of God in Egypt. And when Moses would strike the water would turn to blood. And they too will go and do their own, it will turn to blood. At the point they were beginning to rub shoulder to shoulder with God. He said, whatever God can do, we can also do. And then one of these days, God instructed Moses to just raise the dust and it will become lies and might. And Moses did it, and there was so much lies in the nation of Egypt that it went on to bite so many people. And Pharaoh called his magicians. He said, also go and do it. And when they did their own, instead of it to reduce the lies, it increased the lies. And the thing became worse. And then they looked at Pharaoh and said, "King, live forever. This is the finger of God." Praise God. I pray for you today that in all your achievement, men will not trace it to your effort. That when they look at you, they say, if we consider where he comes from, he will not be able to get this. Considering his education, he should not have this. This can only be God. May people see God in your life. May the God factor become pronounced in your life. Let people say, it is not him, it is God. Praise the Lord. God wants you to reign. Will you want to reign with him? Number three, that you are led by the Holy Spirit or taught by the anointing does not mean that you should not go to school on earth. I'm talking about critical truth about living a balanced life. That you are led by the Holy Spirit. Scripture says, as many that are led by the Holy Spirit, they are what? They are the sons of God. We are not arguing with the fact that the Holy Spirit can lead you. That you didn't read mathematics and yet you can solve a lot of mathematical questions. That you cannot speak French and when you arrive at the French-speaking border, the power of the anointing comes upon you and you begin to speak French. The Holy Ghost can do all of that. But the fact that you are taught by the Holy Ghost does not mean you should not go to school on the earth. I've met with a young man who said, "Pastor, God said I shouldn't go to school, that there is no need to go to school, that I should drop." He just had admission. Praise God. I said, "God said I shouldn't go to school." I said, "You need to go and listen to that God over and over again. Because God is still using professors today." Praise God. Don't you know that if you don't go to school, it will be a disadvantage to you? There are places you will not be able to go, and there are people that will not identify with you, whether you like it or not. The Bible says that God is looking at the inward. Men are looking at the outward appearance. Praise God. That you are led by the Holy Ghost should not mean that you shouldn't go to school on earth. Praise God. If you have the ability to go to the peak of your career and become a professor, please do. It will bring more glory to God. Can you imagine a Christian professor, Holy Ghost filled, born again and tongue talking, he's standing and teaching, and other professors will come and they will remember that we used to sit in the same class and they see him talking, blasting in tongue. They will be humble enough to hear God. Praise God. They will be humble enough to hear God. And say, he also is a professor. Sometimes he's even a better professor. He was even more brilliant than me. And if he's asking me to come and give my life to Jesus Christ, who am I? So you will see them crying at the altar. Because the person that God is using to reach out to them has achieved even greater than they have achieved physically. Because some people's problem with God is their physical attainment in life. They feel they are too educated to be talked to or to be pastored by an illiterate pastor. They are too educated to answer to an altar call made by somebody that is not as educated as them. And so the day that God brings them face to face with somebody that is more educated than them, telling them the same thing, that old fool, according to them, told them, they will come crying. Amen. That you are taught by the Holy Ghost or by the anointing should not make you to drop out of school. I've seen a lot of people do that. And that was error. And that is error. He's already in final year. He said, the calling is too much. I can't continue. What are you talking about? The devil that doesn't allow people to finish in your family, that is the devil that has come. It's not God. Praise God. That devil that doesn't allow people to finish what they have started. You are in final year. Or you are 1 year to reach your final year. And then you say, I have a call. I am abandoning school. I'm going to answer my call. You better think twice. Praise God. Because it is still the member that God will send to you that will look at you and say, this our pastor was a dropout in school. And by that time, there will be no courage left in you to talk to them. Amen. Are we still together? Number next, if you don't learn some things, you will be behind in life. Go to school. After first school, go to the second. After the second, go to the third. Keep going. Keep educating yourself. If you don't learn some things, you will be behind in life. Praise the Lord. Forget about this thing that you want to hide behind. Behind church. Behind call. Now, even if God has called you to be a businessman, you can educate yourself in that area of business. Education does not only end in classroom. The things that you already know how to do, learn how to do better in them. Praise the Lord. Learn. Educate yourself more. You know, more education means more money. Praise the Lord. More money gives you more money. It gives you more reputation. So if you don't learn some things in life, it will put you behind. I was watching, is it Discovery Now? And I discovered that these guys have done knife sharpening machine. They have attached it to a bicycle. And so, as he's wheeling the bicycle, you can just fix your knife somewhere and the thing is sharpening the knife for you. Praise God. So, many things can be done. They even did it to the point that they have a screw that if you want to screw the wall, you just put the screw inside that point in the bicycle and then he wheels the bicycle and the thing begins to screw the wall and enter and then you can do anything. Praise God. They even made it in such a way they have a blender on the bicycle. You just fix your blender there, put whatever you want to grind inside, and as the bicycle is going, the thing is blending your pepper, your tomato, whatever. Praise God. Education. Educate yourself. The fact that God is your father should not give you a license to be lazy and idle. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide. Number next, that you are filled with the Holy Ghost and can prophesy doesn't mean that you should not make your hair. Praise God. Critical truth about living a balanced life. The fact that you can see vision and prophesy doesn't mean that you should leave your hair untidy. And everywhere you enter, they say, that's a prophet. That's a prophetess going. Praise God. You know, those days they used to believe that prophet must leave their beards to be very long. Praise God. If you go to a place and you see one man who appear and say, I'm a prophet and the beard is here, first and foremost, you'll be afraid. Praise God. So now, those prophets who used to keep long beards, some of them are shaved and they are looking neat. Amen. So the fact that you can prophesy and see vision and have revelation should not mean that you cannot wear a fitted shirt. I told us before how one of our chapel prefects told us that if you are born again, you don't need to iron your clothes. And so every day she comes to school, assembly, with very rumpled school uniform. And I said, that's born again. And because of that, people didn't want to give their life to Jesus Christ. Who says that you cannot look good? Praise God. Do you know that there's what I call righteous enjoyment? The fact that you are born again does not mean you can't go to Dubai with your family. Praise God. Spend a vacation there and enjoy yourself and come back. Amen. So strike a balanced life. That you are filled with the Holy Ghost and can prophesy doesn't mean you should not make your hair, you should not sew well-fitted clothes, you should not arrange your house well. Every time you enter the house, it's in disarray. Every time you enter the house, it's like two people just finished fighting. And I say, my dear, what is happening? He said, I don't even have time. We pray. This is our family. We pray here. We need to pray. Praise God. Used to have a friend like that. Everything, he says, we need to pray. My brother, we need to pray. Praise God. You just go to him. There's no money in my pocket. He says, we need to pray. I'm hungry. My brother, we need to pray. Very soon, he started losing his friends one by one. Praise God. Because all of your friends cannot be prayer warriors. Amen. So you can keep your house well. You can arrange your house neat. And the Holy Ghost will still be in your life. Praise God.
Come on.